More About Co-Housing with Lynn Morstead and Kelly Soika. Co-Housing Houston is a multi-generational, community-minded group of people who share the values of connection and sustainability. We're developing the first co-housing project in Texas, and we're really glad you found us today.
Co-Housing Houston is a multi-generational community of people from all sorts of backgrounds who have come together to develop the first ever co-housing community here. The community is in Houston's East End and embraces collaborative living, sustainability, and urban vitality as leading components of their project. Steve Stelzer, Lynn Morstead, and Kelly Soika of Co-Housing Houston are here with us to talk about the project and share some of their exciting journey.
Well, hey, welcome aboard, you three. Thanks for squeezing into KPFT's world headquarters. Steve, you're the one who reached out to me, so I'm gonna start with you, and I would like you to begin this conversation by giving us an overview of Co-Housing Houston and define for us what co-housing means. Is this like, I co-housed at Baylor in a dormitory back 50 years ago. I don't know that that's what I'm thinking. So,
you know, it's not that far off. This is much like a normal condo. We're going to have 33 units, and we're all going to have our own unit, and we're also going to have what we lovingly call a common house, but other people might call it a clubhouse. And so there's just going to be the main term that I like to use is it's an intentional community. So we all want to be there. We all want to be friends, and we all want to get along, and we have our own kitchens. You know, there's no sort of commune sort of sense to it, but we're going to run our own, govern our own community, be our own HOA. There's going to be a few committees. I'm very excited about being on the gardening committee. And that's been a blast so far, getting that organized with some really great gardeners. So the point is we're all going to know each other, and we're all going to be running our own community there, and very excited about it. We've been – I was kind of on, I guess, on the early end of getting into the development of this, and so it's been a lot of fun so far. And the project is about half built. Wow. So we're looking at moving in and you know, late summer. And so it's getting very real.
It is real. It was real when you think it through. It's something different when you actually move in, right? I think it's amazing, the idea that something as a concept can come, and that you have so many humans buying into the process. How does that feel to have that type of manifesting of such an idea?
It's comforting, actually, to me. I really like being a team member and being a part of a group, and this has been just a blast trying to navigate the group decision making. It's challenging, and but I think it's very rewarding.
You have a kind spirit to say that about group decision making. That's really impressive.
There's an art to it.
There is an art to it.
And these two, my two compadres here, are very good at that. They put me in the shade.
That's wonderful. And I guess to make it through the hard part, which is sort of getting the vision, after that, now you're just talking about local nuances, right? Like once it's real, hopefully. Hopefully. And any thoughts, like as you think about what the goals are and how it works, what is the community shape like? How many people, how many households? Yes.
Go ahead, Lynn.
Yeah, this is Lynn. I'm just reflecting on what makes this different from a condominium, because that's a great way to describe what you might observe when you drive by.
Yes.
I think one of the things that's very different than any kind of condominium in Houston is that we've all entered into this kind of with this agreed social contract, mm-hmm. and we've coalesced around two key values that we have really focused on as we talk about the community, so that we make sure that people, as they select and make this decision to join this community, they're doing this with eyes wide open. So, you know, one of the main values that we coalesce around is around connections,
mm-hmm.
And that really speaks to a lot of the things that you were talking about when you talk about this 4-year anniversary, which I'm amazed at, mm-hmm. as well, that it's COVID. I think COVID really highlighted for people the fractures in our social structure,
mm-hmm.
and where we are weak and where we need to strengthen up, and this really sort of offers a solution that people aspire to, but yeah. a lot of people don't really know how to make that happen where they live today.
Right.
And the other thing that's another, for some people, aspirational value that we really have coalesced around is sustainability.
Mm-hmm.
And sustainability is not just, you know, recycle your cans or maybe buy a little bit less or, you know, don't use plastic bags in the grocery store. It really gets to pre-investment in energy solutions and different way of using water drainage on the system, that we've pre-invested in that. Additionally, it's just socially being next to somebody, for example, Steve, who, if he's ever talked about this before, you will know what I'm going to say, and that is composting and recycling in a very, very, very serious way. He takes it to a whole new level. Now, me at my house, just me and two people, we cannot do the kind of composting that Steve aspires to, right? And so I might start out very ambitious and not really be able to follow through, as with a lot of projects that we might undertake that kind of are aspirational to bring our better self forward. As a community, we support each other and we make this happen.
Okay, so you might just have to bring your compost material to Steve.
Yes, in fact, he's offering that service to us virtually. Yeah.
That's the gardening committee.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yes. Phase one.
I've got it laid out, and it's going to be systematized. We're going to have the right number of containers for the number of people. It's going to be fantastic.
That's going to be wonderful. You really are a fan. This is your thing. You know, as we look and try and figure out how do the community members lease the units? Like, how do they really become a part of the community? Do they buy them?
Is a great question, because this is kind of upside down model.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, in Houston, it's a per purchase, so we will be owners of these units,
yes.
right? So it's like a condo for ownership. In Houston, Texas, people talk about location, mm-hmm. location. But actually, when you start talking to us about co-housing, it's community.
Mm-hmm.
So we lead forward with community, which confuses the heck out of anybody looking for a place to live.
Right.
Because they always want to know, well, where is it? What is the floor plan? What is mm-hmm. the square footage? What is the price per square foot? And we try and hold off and get them to really reflect on, well, first you need to think about whether you would like to live with these people. Then you also need to reflect upon, do you really want to make decisions in the way that we make decisions? So all of our decisions are based on consensus.
Mm.
So even though Steve talked about an HOA, there'll be an HOA board. We are board of the whole.
Wow.
And so everybody has a say. So there's not a they and a us or a them. It's we be them. So
wow.
Sometimes people will say, well, what if the board does that? And we're like, what are you talking about? We be the board.
You know?
We be the board. So if there's going to be an assessment or any kind of a pricing discussion, we all have to consent on that.
So it's not a majority. It's like a collective
no.
all.
Consensus.
That's impressive.
So that gives every one of how many folks? 23?
33 households.
So each will have a vote on the
yes.
board, so to speak.
Absolutely.
And any one could become the burr under your blanket,
mm-hmm.
were they to so choose.
Kelly's got some great stories on that from her actually lived experience in co-housing for 6 years. She can probably speak to that
And
part
where
of
did
it.
Where did this happen, Kelly?
Yeah, I lived in co-housing in Boulder, Colorado. And my husband's work brought us here, and I thought, for sure, there's no co-housing in Houston. And then I Googled, and here they were. And I found that this group, like the group there, you know, when everybody has a say in what questions get asked and what kinds of tasks the group wants to take on and what kind of decisions need to be made, then that kind of input early on makes the decision-making so much easier as time goes on, because the BRRR gets heard, and the BRRR gets to ask questions, and the BRRR gets to shape the discussion. And sometimes the BRRR has really good ideas, and that person, you know, brings out something that everybody else didn't think about. Mm-hmm. And so coming together in consensus really makes it so that everybody's voice is in the room. And by the time the decision gets made, it's pretty there's usually not a lot of drama, honestly. And the implementation of it is pretty easy because everybody was bought in, yeah, you know, from the start.
So in terms of the buy-in, so how does the process go in terms of, are you who are early adopters or engagers in the co-housing movement, do you then invite people? How does one become invited? I know there was a podcast y'all did recently that touched on this.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is the invitation. Anyone is
You're
welcome.
All invited.
Yeah,
right,
anyone is welcome to come and check it out. It's a neighborhood like any other. You know, it's a piece of real estate. It's a piece of property. The thing is, early on, as we're still building, we're the developers. We're the people moving in, and we're the people developing it. So we do have something called an explorer process right now, where people can come in, they can test out consensus decision making, they can see if they like living and operating in an intergenerational, multi-generational environment. You know, if you're a lot younger, do you want to have to listen to boomers also? If you're a boomer, do you really want to listen to 20-year-olds when you're making decisions? You know, does that work for you? It gives you kind of a space of time to work on that. And then if you decide to move forward, then you buy in like the rest of us, and then you'll move in with the rest of us.
Mm-hmm. And how does one then make a choice as to, like, how many square feet I want versus how many square feet someone else might want? And if I'm a couple, or maybe if I'm a couple with a child or intention of children, versus another couple that may be empty nesters, or even single people, or, you know, widowed folk.
Well, when you get to that point, so as Kelly described the explorer process, you go through the explorer process. There's an awareness through that process as to what units are available. So this has already been designed as we're under construction. We're, you know, halfway there, looking to move in this year. So as with any other condo project or any kind of housing project, you know what's available because people have purchased and selected and committed, made financial commitment to certain places. So that we have, you know, for example, we're 2/3 sold out. So we have, you know, 10 units left over right now that are uncommitted, and they are of different floor plans and different sizes. And so you have your free pick. So there's a one bedroom, there's a couple of two bedrooms, different floor plans, there's a three bedroom. So you then have to come in and make a decision. The thing that I have been very fascinated by with co-housing, though, I have never been involved in a purchase. I have been, up until this point in my life, buying, but I've never been involved in a purchase of going down. So up until this point in my life, everything has been what I would call upsizing. Mm-hmm. And now people that get, you know, the jazz word, of course, is downsizing. Mm-hmm. And what I've been fascinated by is that people who maybe typically would be looking at a stage of life where they're upsizing, they're considering co-housing, which is actually kind of what we think of as downsizing in this culture. And the reason why they're making those decisions is because we have the common house that Steve talked about. That is a 4,200 square foot house that has facilities in there where we can come together. So Steve might be holding his landscape meeting. Kelly is an avid costume sewer. She might be dragging the latest theater project into the common house and taking over one of our multi-purpose rooms, sewing in there, inviting her friends over. There's an opportunity to cook together or bring meals together, set up tables and share food together. So people have that extended space. And from what I understand from people who live in co-housing is that it's not like a social room. If you go in a condo or a apartment complex, like, they like to show you around. I don't know about you, but whenever I've been to look at these with my kids looking at apartments, these places are dead.
They're always empty.
Dead.
Yeah. I mean, they look gorgeous.
Unless
but
there's a meeting where they're about to tell you the rent's going up.
Yeah. They're sterile. They have no life. They're so clean. Whereas our common house will be where life happens. And so the square footage decision is a very different decision. You're sort of thinking of your pad, but then you also have in your mind this extended space. It's like having community at your doorstep. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the founders of co-housing in the U.S., he talked about co-housing is like life. It's community between the spaces, between the houses. Mm-hmm. And we just don't have that. We've lost that. Yeah. And what we did have has eventually been eroded away. The most recent, you know, nail in that coffin, of course, was COVID. Yeah. And so I don't know if that adequately answers your square footage question, because people are not really thinking about if we do this explorer process right, people get to the point where they're so hungry and so eager to live in this kind of environment. They've really imagined it. They've really made this come alive. It's really become something that they are really wanting to move towards. That the place that you live in is irrelevant almost. Like, mm-hmm. you think about it. The best times you've ever had, I don't know, could be in some skanky dorm room where you had amazing roommates, fabulous social connections. Certainly as a young new hire, you don't even want to believe the places that I lived in. My parents wouldn't visit me. Yeah. So, but they were the best times of my life. Yeah. And so we are trying to really switch that formula, turn it on its head, and say, look, let's go for a human experience. Yeah. Let's get back to our roots. And then we'll throw in a new building that's very resilient and has got all these nice features in it. But really, we're after that connection.
It's definitely a mental, like, switch, right?
Yeah.
Just like not just the physical space, but the way you're in community when people are, you know, blinds are closed or they're peeping out, but they're not necessarily neighborly with their neighbors. They just have people who live next to them. So there's so much about what you're creating that it takes a lot, I think, to get your head around. But it's really exciting because you know it to be possible and you know it to be true. And it does change the way you use space. I used to live in New York for a while.
Well, there you go.
Right? Yeah. And you really didn't think about your space because the city was your space. And your community was your space. Yeah.
And we haven't even talked about the parenting aspects. You know, Kelly alluded to the multi-generational, but parenting aspects. You mentioned New York. I was just listening to an interview with David Brooks, and he was talking about how, remember growing up in New York, and everybody on the street was parenting you.
Yeah.
And the same kind of thing. Kelly has raised three girls, and they were very little at the time in co-housing in Colorado, and this kind of, you know, group parenting kind of spirit is being resurrected in these communities.
That's huge. That's wonderful. Now, there's some beautiful pieces of working together. Are there any challenges that you have seen, or how do you navigate those challenges, both in community and in the physical development of the space?
Yeah, maybe you, Kelly, having lived in this mode for a
number
of years.
People are people. I mean, there are definite challenges. You know, people come at this with their best heart, and then two people come together, and you know, there are going to be disagreements, and there are going to be definite, you know, just brushing up against people and making somebody else mad. You know, it happens all the time. But the intentional part of the intentional community, I think, is the important part, mm-hmm. because it is what really holds you together as a commitment to maintain a relationship. So even, you know, you think about it, like in a good, healthy marriage, you've got disagreements and arguments, but you've got ways of working through it. You've mm-hmm. got ways of coming out the other side. Mm-hmm. And so that's what co-housing provides, is kind of the method and the ways of working through that. So we had a retreat, and we had a whole conflict resolution, 2 days on conflict resolution, a lot about, like, how do people feel about conflict? How do they approach it? How do they want to get feedback from other people? So being in relationship and knowing your neighbors makes it possible to have a conflict and work through it productively and have something good come out of it, as opposed to having a, you know, rupture in the relationship.
compassion to communication is the key.
Absolutely.
So, Steve, I wanted to wind back to you as my perception being you're the first person I heard about this from a few years back. Some of the nuts and bolts on it. How big of an expanse is this? Is this that entire city block off of Canal Street over in the East End?
It's
Del Mar and...
Right. It's Del Mar and Sherman and Lenox and... I forget what the other one is.
Brady.
There we go. And it's not the entire block.
I Google walked it.
Right.
But, yeah.
So we have some very close neighbors, and that'll be fun. It's about an acre and a half, and we're going to have this four-story kind of L-shaped condo, wood frame structure, and then we're going to have this common house, and then we're going to have surface parking and some garages and carports. And you might think, oh, well. But the point is we want to, and we're only a block and a half off of the Green Line. Mm-hmm. So we're really looking forward to being very transit-oriented. And, of course, that fabulous bike trail goes right by, mm-hmm. almost just like one block away mm-hmm. from us. So I'm going to be this I'm going to turn into a cyclist. I haven't been that much. I have a bike. I really... ride it only once in a while, and it's going to be a daily thing. So I'm very excited about that.
Well, that's the true thing. I mean, it's hard in Houston, like, to get from where your bike is inside the house or in the garage, whatever, through the traffic to a safe route is, like, a question, right?
And we've gone on our group has gone on that trail, and I just completely fell in love with it. So that's going to be a major source of exercise for me, and I can't wait.
It's a great trail.
That's great. Well, it's exciting, you know, from those who aren't here, not only are you community in how you live, but your community in how you communicate here. You kind of each share notes. It's really kind of neat to watch.
Well, back to that parking lot, I mean, the whole idea is people who do drive in, you know, they're going to run into people. Mm-hmm. We have this.
Literally.
Thank you for that.
Hold on.
Thank you. Run into people. There we go. That's great. No, but I mean, my favorite little saying on what we're not going to do is we're not going to drive the Batmobile into the Batcave and then take the elevator up to the estate and be by ourselves. No, we're not doing that. Mm-hmm. So you're going to park the car. You're going to run into somebody. Mm-hmm. I mean, no big deal. It's a mail room. But guess what? You're going to run into people mm-hmm. at the mail room. Okay. All of our walkways and approaches to the building are all exterior. So this is not where you walk in and go down a double loaded corridor. None of that. We're gonna be able to see people. Hey, how are you doing?
It's amazing. That's a fascinating concept. Right?
Exactly. And you might say, but that doesn't look different. Okay. The point is, it's just different enough.
Yeah.
And
That's beautiful.
You know, that's interesting because I was just thinking about this whole upside down approach to living, because most people ask us, well, why have you separated the parking from where you're living? I want to be able to just go when it's 100 degrees mm-hmm. directly from my car into my air conditioning. And we're like, that's the whole idea. You've been complaining that you're isolated. This will afford you the opportunity to bump into your neighbors, go into the common house, you know, see somebody cooking, have a chat, get your mail.
It's, you know, the theory and practice changes things. So how can interested individuals get involved with Co-Housing Houston? I know you have cohousinghouston.com. Is that the best way for them to engage?
Yes. Wonderful. We also have a phone number on that website. And if you call that phone number, it rings in my pocket, except for right now. I've got it turned off.
Thank you.
But I will answer it any time of day or night. And if I'm not around, it goes to Kelly's purse.
That is wonderful.
We are also having on March 24th, we're showing a documentary on co-housing that was done by one of the founders in the United States. It'll be a half-hour documentary March 24th, and you'll find that on our website under the events menu option. And then there'll be a roundtable discussion. And it's going to be hosted at Kathleen English's office, which she's our architect.
Well,
oh, by the way, Steve's wife.
Oh, wonderful pairing. Well, Kelly,
so come along to that. We'd love to see you.
Thank you, Kelly Lynn and Steve. Thank you so much for joining us today on Open Journal and for sharing your story.
Yeah, thanks for coming in, y'all.
Thanks for stopping by today. We're so glad you clicked on our episode.
For more information about our project, Cohousing Houston, go to www.cohousinghouston.com and subscribe to our newsletter. For general information about cohousing, we like cohousing.org. We're active on social media, so check out what's happening on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter under Cohousing Houston.